Welcome to Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell, awakening the world to the power of God's Word. And now, here is your host, Dr. William Campbell.
Welcome to Beyond Words Radio, where it's our ambition to move beyond simply talking about Christianity to walking more like Christ. The Lord Jesus, as you know, walked with 12 people, and the numbers grew from there to 70 to what has become a worldwide movement. And he had his own little family of followers. And the family unit is key, as we look through the Bible, to living more like Christ. We need to pass on our faith to those who will carry the baton of leadership to the next generation. We have with us a guest who's done a lot of thinking about this, and he's written an excellent book to help us do more thinking ourselves. The book is titled Passing the Generation Blessing. And the author, who is our guest, is Dr. Kenneth C. Omer. Dr. Omer, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Dr. Campbell, for having me. I'm so honored. Thank you, sir.
Can you tell us what inspired you to write this book?
You know, it's the journey of this book has been very, very interesting. One of my dearest friends is a rabbi here in Los Angeles, and I've been to his synagogue several times, and we've been to different conferences around the world together. But the thing that changed my life in a very real sense, and certainly was the seed of this book, was one Friday evening, my wife and I had Shabbat dinner with him at his home. And during that time, I saw traditions that were thousands of years old passed down in his home. And then it dawned on me that what was happening in his home was happening literally around the world in Jewish homes.
Wow.
Second thing was, he took the time, and obviously they do it every week, but the thing that impressed me most was a part of the Shabbat dinner where he blessed each of his children. And that just blew me away. That blew me away. And there was a special prayer for it, and blessing his wife and blessing his home, but blessing his children. That's what blessed me so much and inspired me so much. That here's a man who is passing on a tradition of blessing that has thousands of years behind him, and yet he's passing it on to the next generation. And so that was kind of the germ, the seed of it, of passing this generation blessing, or passing the blessing from one generation to the other. You know, he said the most important, I hadn't thought about this, he said the most important scripture, the most important verse rather in scripture is Deuteronomy 6. And in Deuteronomy 6, the Lord says, you shall tell of these things to your children, children's children, when you walk by the wayside, when you go in the streets of the city, etc. And he said that's the most important thing in the Jewish community of passing down this blessing. And so I guess the germ, the seed of this book came from my very dear friend who inspired me. You know, and sometimes even that evening, it was kind of embarrassing. It was embarrassing because as my mind began to whirl, I'm thinking, wow, what if we would do more of this in our present generation? What if we would do this in our different communities, our different churches? You know, and the principles of the book really work in any relationship. I've seen business guys use it. I've seen personal relationships use it. But it just dawned on me, and kind of embarrassingly, maybe we've dropped that ball. And so the theme of the book, is in the motif of running a race. And in a relay race, you pass the baton or you pass the stick, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm saying maybe we dropped that baton, and that's kind of what spurred on the creation of the book.
Well, you're right on target. I mean, you think about our country here. We're broadcasting out of North America, out of United States of America, and we have a whole generation that's pretty much saying, I don't need the church. And many are saying, I don't need my parents anymore. And it's like a disconnect between generations. And there's something missing. And what you're saying is, this rabbi reminded you that there's a whole people around the world who have a tradition of making a really good connection. We need to learn from that. That's profound.
You think about the Jewish nation, the Jewish people, and being in the African-American tradition, we share similar journeys with the Jewish community in terms of oppression, in terms of periods of even attempted genocide. But the focal point of this survival, of the resilience in this people, has to do with the traditions that they've passed down in good times and bad times, in times of prosperity and times of oppression. And I really think on a fundamental basis, that's the key to what is happening in this people who have survived centuries and centuries and millennia even of persecution. And yet they're passing down to their children what they receive from God.
Wow. And we need to do a better job. So this is such a relevant topic. You open up early on, you talk about, hey, it's as simple as telling your story. And I like that because that's something we all can do, just to tell our story to the next generation. Expand on it a little bit if you could.
Yeah, that's kind of the common ground, which I think is why there's such a universal appeal for the book, because everybody has a story. Everybody has a story. And the point that I try to make is that your story can bless the next generation. Your story can bless somebody else. The good times, the bad times, the ups and the downs. But to see and to testify of how God has been woven into the story of your life, the story of your journey, is a part of what we pass down. You know, the Bible talks about men and women who have been used by God. And one of the things I tell people in our congregation, it's pretty obvious that the Holy Spirit, that God wrote the Bible, because he tells the good parts and the bad parts. And there'd be parts, if it was me telling the story, I'd leave some things out, you know. But God tells these stories, and the power of God is revealed in individual lives in addition to community lives. And so I begin by saying, wow, you have a story. I have a story. There's a part of my story that's different from your story. Your story different from my story. But as we pass these stories down, as we tell somebody, as we point out, here's what God has done. As we point out, here's what God has done. Here's where God was. When I was here, here's what God did. It's the telling of the story that passes on to one generation what God has done in your life and my life. Mm. And therein lies a sequence, if you will, a generational passing, the presence and power of God.
This is helpful, Dr. Omer, because America is becoming less and less literate with each new generation, it seems. Studies have shown people aren't reading as much. And so even a story of the Bible is not being read very much. And that's a lot of what our ministry does, Scripture Awakening, get people back into the Word, make it easy for them, and then help them go deep and even to the point of living it. And that's what this radio program is about, help them live it.
Yeah.
But to tell the story, most of the world is not, most cultures are not literature-based. They don't read much, but they pass on truth through stories, maybe around a campfire, yeah, you know, different ways. And that's always been a good way. That's what the Bible is. It's a lot of stories.
It's a story.
Yeah. Do you have some tips for us? We're going to tell our story to our children and grandchildren. What have you seen that works? Any suggestions to help me with this?
I think the key, in light of what you just pointed out, of the growing, not only the growing illiteracy of the Bible, but I fear a growing disinterest in the Bible. You know, I fear that there's a generation who I don't really need that, you know, in this whole pluralistic society. Hey, look, man, if that works for you, good for you, but, you know, I don't need that. So I think that what might bridge the gap is, rather than formally, as many of us have done, you know, academically and theologically and in classes, et cetera, but I think it is, let me tell you my story. And yet woven in my story is the story of God and the story of that's in the Bible, but it's how God has moved in my life. And so I think, first of all, it's to personalize it. I think, second of all, it is more informal than formal. It's more caught than taught. You know? And so I'm looking for opportunities to point out, you know, I say this in the book, everyone ought to have some nobody but God spots.
Wow.
Every life, every testimony has some nobody but God. In other words,
I love it.
As I'm telling in my story, I will tell, and I have seasons, I have incidents where the only way I made out of that and came out of that was nobody but God pulled me through. The only way that I made it through this challenge or this fall or this mistake, nobody but God could pull me out. And so, again, I'm telling my personal story, but informally, I'm sharing the power of God to interact in the life of anyone. And I'm telling informally rather than, hey, let's sit down to a class. You know, in my culture, small groups, as important as they may be, are not very attractive in African-American culture. Small groups are not very attractive. And guys that I know who have small groups, and we have in our church, they are usually some small percentage of the overall category. Mm-hmm. Now, part of that goes back to the whole story of slavery. You know, in slavery, you go to church. You even had certain clothes that you only wore, you know, a certain hat, a certain shoes. And so you go to church. You don't so much bring church into your home. So the idea of small groups where, you know, 10 people come to your house, at my house, whatever, that's not very big. But we have a story. And so rather than a formalized, structured setting, it tends to be more effective if in our everyday lives, you know, the Bible says, as you go in Matthew, as you go, make disciples. Go into all the world. But as you are going in your everyday walk, Bill Hybels used to say, just look around the room. You don't have to go anyplace. And so my point is that as we tell our story, it really becomes a story that highlights the story of God. But it's done, number one, personally, and number one, more informally than formally. It's easier caught than taught.
That's really good. We're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back.
Life is a journey, and when we connect our lives to Scripture, it can be truly amazing. So Scripture Awakening has launched a brand new Bible study series called Be Next, Amazing Journey. Be Next Bible studies answer the what's next question people ask after completing the very popular Bible reading program, Bible in 90 Days, or B90. Be Next Amazing Journey is designed to replicate the successful B90 experience. Be Next studies are designed to be accessible, economical, and flexible. So we offer them in print, video, and digital formats. This month, with your gift of $30 or more, we will send you the Be Next Amazing Journey booklet entitled Reigning Heroes. Go to scriptureawakening.com and click on the banner ad featuring Be Next Reigning Heroes booklet. Go to scriptureawakening.com. Be Next from Scripture Awakening, awakening your world to the power of God's Word.
Welcome back to Beyond Words Radio. This is Bill Campbell, and we have with us our guest, Dr. Kenneth C. Ulmer. He's a pastor at Faithful Central Bible Church in Southern California. He's got his PhD and a lot of other degrees, but he's an author, and he's a father. He lives in Los Angeles, California, been married 36 years, has three daughters and a son and six grandchildren, and he's serious about passing the baton to them. And that's an image really in the book he's written called Passing the Generation Blessing. How well are you and I doing on this? That's the question we're asking today as he gives us some tips and coaching to encourage us to pass it on. In fact, that's the story of the Old Testament. Pass on the faith to the generation that will continue to carry the baton of leadership. Dr. Ulmer, thank you again for being with us. And as we go forward, this image of passing the baton, it's like a race. I know there are a lot of images in the Bible. Is there any image that's really, I guess, captured your heart and imagination that caused you to put this in the book?
You know, in a relay race, gets highlighted, obviously, during Olympic times, et cetera. But in a relay race, one runner has a baton, and then that runner enters into what's called a passing lane. And in this passing lane, there's a marked out space, a marked out perimeter, if you will, where the baton can only be passed in this lane, and they pass it from one runner to the next. You can't pass it outside of that lane. If you miss the timing of it, the whole idea is to get the timing of passing within this space, this time, this passing lane. And the point that I try to make is that, especially with our children, we have a passing lane. We've got a window. And the sooner we begin to pass this off and to share the things of God and to tell our story and to show that God is involved in our lives, the more effective it's going to be. Because the day is going to come, the time is going to come when that child, when we have less and less influence on that child's life. Sometimes it's teenage, sometimes it's when they go to college. But if we have not passed that baton during that passing lane or during those few years where God gives us time to be intimate and in relationship with our children, we run the risk of trying to catch up. There's a passage, I think it's in Nehemiah, I think it is, and my friend Jensen Franklin pointed this out one time, and he said that there's a passage that talks about the fact that there was a generation who did not know the language of the people of God. Did not know the language. In other words, they had been involved in so many pagan influences that they had lost the Hebrew language, if you will. Wow. And his point was, if they've lost the Hebrew language, they don't understand the Hebrew scriptures. And so many times in our culture today, there's a generation that doesn't even understand God talk, the things of God, the principles of God. And so we've got to recapture that. But more importantly, we have a window. We have a passing lane where we can pass that baton. And the further we get outside of and beyond that lane, the more we're going to have to play catch up.
You give another analogy that's helpful, because not all of us are runners, but we all get the sense that I'm responsible for things and someone else is going to have to pick it up. And that's the idea with the biblical analogy of Elijah and Elisha, of passing the mantle of responsibility. Talk to us a little about that. It kind of drives home the importance of the generation that's coming up behind us and how much we've got to focus on equipping, supporting, enabling, encouraging them.
Yeah. You know, every Elijah needs an Elisha. Every Moses needs a Joshua. Every Paul needs a Timothy. And again, there's that principle of one generation sowing into, pouring into, speaking into the next generation. The fact that Elijah passed his mantle onto Elisha, and the fact that Elisha walked with him, even in those times when Elijah would have said, hey, look, I don't have time for this, go back. And Elisha said, no, I'm going to stay. I'm going to keep following you. And Elijah, when he was translated to heaven, he threw his mantle upon this next generation. So again, I think there's this principle of not only a consistency, but a persistency. But we need to be persistent, intentional about making a connection to the next generation, whatever that next generation may be. If it's in a business, it's in a growing business, if it's in a relationship, if it's father to son or whatever it may be, but that we have a responsibility to pass that mantle, to pass something on to that next generation. And again, it must be very persistent and very intentional.
And certainly part of the intentionality is to learn and to know the people. It's a pretty amazing thing, isn't it? We can have children in our own house. We're together all the time for years, and we hardly really know each other. And so I love the way you emphasize listening, taking time to listen and understand. Go ahead.
I think it's kind of a lost art. To listen, you know, someone, I didn't put this in the book, but someone has said, it's interesting that God gave us two ears and one mouth. And so maybe we ought to listen twice as much as we talk.
Yeah.
But the idea of listening and listening for those opportunities where we can interject and we can place in those gaps and in those situations, there's a God moment. There's a God opportunity. But to listen, the things that, like I said, I find that more and more there's a challenge that there's a generation that is losing interest even in the things of God. And yet the things that they are interested in are often opportunities where we can highlight God, you know, relationships, heartbreak, failure. Everybody's going to fail. Probably one of my painful generational blessings that I passed came out of a generational pain. And I have two married daughters, and I had to share, and I did share with my daughters that I was divorced by the time I was 26, divorced twice. And from that divorce and that failure, as a matter of fact, I went into a whole season of suicidal and depression, which I won't go into right now. But here was my point. My point is that I learned when I was grown, when I was a grown man, that's when I learned that my mother had been married more than once. I learned that my father had been married more than once. I learned that my grandfather on my mother's side had been married seven times, and that my grandfather on my mother's side had 33 kids, 33 kids, man. And so the point that I finally realized was, wow, there is a curse. There is a relational marital curse on my family. And so when my wife and I got married, and praise the Lord, we've been married now for 41 years, but we made a commitment. And when I shared that part of my story of her, we realized we're going to break this curse in our generation. My wife and I made this commitment. And so after 41 years, we're still hanging in there, man, and doing great. But here's my point. There's a verse that says, even when you've cleaned that house of demonic presence, if the house is not kept clean, the enemy will come right back with even more demons than the first time. And so I had to tell my children, my daughters and my sons-in-law, this curse has been broken. And now it's up to you guys on your running your leg, on your term, on your time, on your cycle. You've got to keep this house clean. And so I had to share that on and pass that on to the next generation. And praise the Lord, you know, my kids have been married 12 years, 15 years, almost 20 years. But I had to tell that painful part of my story in order to try to trust the Lord to keep our house, our generations clean from the attacks of the enemy.
Thank you for being so open and sharing. And we all need to do that, don't we? It's not just a biblical theme, but the reality we all know in life. When we share not just what we think is our good stuff, but the weakness, others open up. And that's the place of growth, not just for the person hearing us sharing openly, but for the relationship between us and that one. And there's pretty much a whole generation that is drifting away, not just from God and the church, but I don't mean to overgeneralize, but from their parents. in what you just modeled for us right now.
I don't think you're exaggerating at all. It is the reality. I mean, in our church, the generational breakdowns that I see, the generational challenges are sometimes frightening. You know, we had a meeting of our staff a while back, and part of the marvel of our conversation was, I can hardly believe even the way some kids talk to their parents now. And more than that, I can't believe the way some parents talk to their kids now.
Yeah.
Or I can't believe the way some parents allow their kids to talk to us. And so there's certainly a generational shift. And I think that shift is away from the things of God, as we find in the Old Testament. And so we've got to try to intentionally bring that pendulum back center, bring it back to God. And I think the way we do it is the way the Bible does it. The Bible says there was a whole generation who did what they did, and they thought what was right in their own sight. And then one by one, God began to raise up one king and another king and one prophet, another prophet, one by one. And so what was a national issue was turned around on a personal level.
That's good.
Because God chose men who were willing to stand up and say, wow, somebody's got to make a difference. Somebody's got to make this thing change.
That's really good. You know, as we think about this theme of passing the baton, the blessing, I'm reminded, as we've talked about, you know, Elijah, that there's that promise God will raise up someone in the spirit of Elijah to turn the parents back to their children, the hearts, to be reconnected. And this is what you're doing, Dr. Omer. This is your life testimony. It's a theme in your life that I'm listening to it and saying, this is really needed today. It's really good stuff.
You know, here's an interesting backstory. I have a spiritual son who goes to our church. His name is LL Cool J. He's an actor in NCIS LA, I think it is. And so I asked LL to write the foreword to this book. And he said, hey, look, man, that's not my thing. I don't write. That's not, you know, I know. And here was the point. The time that I asked him was just a few weeks or a month or so after the birth of his first granddaughter, his first grandchild, his first grandson. And I said, you are the best person to write this foreword. And then he realized, wow, I've got another generation coming on behind me. And that's what I've got to do. I've got to pass this baton. I've got to pass this blessing. And so, you know, as big-hearted and as generous as he is, he recognized, and I just had dinner with him a couple of days ago, and we said, you know, he was talking about how do I leave an inheritance for my grandchildren? And so that began the conversation where he's saying, I have something to pass on. It's not perfect. It's ups and downs. But I have something, and I have a responsibility to pass this on to my grandson. Wow. This is another generation, and he is very humbly decided to write the foreword to the book. But that's another example of we've got to get back to holding on to this next generation.
Would you say, to take the theme and twist a little bit, because this is, the crux of it all, we sense we're just not perfect. Who are we to pass something on, you know? We're going to give on a baton that's got scratches and maybe broken and bent, you know? And the thing is, everything that didn't work right for us is a story to tell to help the next generation not repeat it. And they're going to appreciate if we humble ourselves and share it of our weakness and say, look, I didn't do this right in this and that area. They're going to open up and they're going to learn from us that way. And so
that is the key to, that's the key to the book, that you have a story. I have a story. Every chapter in our story may not be a pretty chapter. Every chapter in our story may not be a mountaintop experience. But somebody's going to come along behind us, and they're not going to have a pretty chapter, and they're not going to have a mountaintop. They're not going to stay on the mountaintop. And so even as I read the pattern of scripture, you know, again, I see God telling the stories of men and women, warts and all, good stories and bad stories. But we're blessed by the tradition of having received, you know, a story. Name, pick one, pick anyone you want to pick. You know, Paul keeps saying over and over again, hey, look, remember who I am. I'm the chief sinners. Remember who I am. Matter of fact, I kind of thought Paul was kind of paranoid there for a while, because over and over he keeps saying, you know, hey, I blew it. And yet by the grace of God, I have a story to tell. That's the essence of the book.
Wow.
We have a story to tell.
You bring out also the theme of the importance of going to war, of fighting for the next generation. And some of us just need to get outright angry, maybe at ourselves for sitting in our duffs and saying, I can't make a difference. You can. Talk to us, Dr. Omer. I think we could all use a little motivation here. Those who are feeling they tried, it didn't work, you know, now wait a minute. What really matters in life? This should be number one, passing it on. How are you going to do it? Well, you've got to get up and not give up. Can you just add a little to that?
Yeah.
It's all over the place in your book.
Wow. Yeah, I think the idea of warfare on a couple of levels. The key to warfare, I would say, is involvement. Certainly, there's a personal story and there's an informal element to it. But there's also the element of involvement. I think that sometimes if we're not careful, we will use a biblical principle as a cop-out. Here's what I mean. Hmm. When Paul writes and he says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, et cetera, et cetera. And so when Paul says that the essence of the battle is in the spirit realm, I get that. But the manifestation of the battle is in the earth realm. And so my point I try to make is that the idea of going to war, yes, you pray. I've got that. I got that. We're going to do that. But on the other hand, on an intimate basis, on an involvement basis, I want to get involved with what's happening in my kids, in their school, in their community, with their friends, who they're hanging out with, what are their habits. So my warfare has got to be in the reality of the battlefield. You know, there's a song in the African-American tradition that says, I am on the battlefield for my Lord. There's an old traditional hymn that says, Onward Christian Soldiers. And what's always funny to me is that we say we're soldiers in the army of the Lord, and yet we get surprised when the devil shoots at us. I mean, my gosh, it's his job description to shoot at us. But we are also armed with spiritual armor and covered by the power of God. But when God said to Jehoshaphat, the battle is not yours, it's the Lord. The next verse he says, but now you must go out to the battlefield. And so it implies a level of involvement on where our children are, what our children are going through. And the whole thing about drugs is an issue. In my community, gang warfare is an issue. How do we prepare our kids in a very real way to deal with the stuff that they face after the benediction, the stuff that they face outside of the reality of the church? And that's where the warfare is in the earth realm. And so I want to find out, you know, what's happening in the schools. What my classic line to kids who go off to college, and we have a very comprehensive program of preparing kids to go to college, and we give scholarships and everything. And my classic statement to the parents is, make sure, and to the kids, make sure you take Jesus with you when you go to college, because you probably won't find him when you get there.
Yeah.
If you don't take him with you, you know. And so that's a battlefield. And so the halls, the ivy-colored halls of academia are bastions for things that are against God, antithetical to God. And so we want to arm our kids mentally, spiritually, that when you go, you're going into a battlefield. I don't care if it's an Ivy League or if it's no league. You're going into a battlefield. And so we want to get involved with our kids on the level of being sensitive to the battlefields that they face. Schools, friends, culture, drugs, warfare, gang, whatever it may be. We want to get involved and stay close enough to our kids, which now goes back to the chapter on listening, to listen to our kids and to be so connected to our kids that we often hear what they don't say.
Hmm.
Say that again. We want to learn how to hear what they don't say.
That's good.
So connected to them, that the things that they're facing at school, be it bullies, be it secularism, be it humanism, be it drug culture, we want to be so connected with them and so involved, because the warfare demands that we go to the battlefield.
Well, again, to the listener, you can learn more by Googling and finding the book Passing the Generation Blessing, Kenneth C. Ulmer. Dr. Ulmer, thank you again for being with us, and may God bless you in your ministry.
Dr. Campbell, it's been an honor. May God bless you.
This has been Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell. Beyond Words is a ministry of Scripture Awakening, and if you'd like to help support this ministry, or if you would like to know more about Beyond Words, visit us on our website at scriptureawakening.com.